Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. We want to thank you, whoever hears this today or later, we want to thank you. We apologize for starting late. Our program master and helpers didn't do what we were supposed to do this week. We were supposed to have this done in front so we could start on time, and we couldn't get on until we had certain drafts showing to pull us up in the order that technology works this thing. But we're thankful to Allah and have the opportunity to speak to whoever be the listeners, whoever comes in, whoever stays with us and other hosts, not just us. When I say that, when I'm talking about Community-Wide Shura Conference, AM 360, I'm talking about the whole body is one, even though we don't see each other regularly. Some of us haven't seen each other yet. But the bottom line is we're one family, and that's what we have to recognize.
Right.
And when we see ourselves as one family, we build together. I want to say now, before even getting started, anyone has a question, a statement, a suggestion, please touch the one on your phone. Allah willing, I see it. I will touch your mic to bring you in to open up to what you want to say or ask or whatever the case may be. And if I'm not able to see, I pray that the others, Imam Hamid and others, where they're looking at the studio from where they're at, if they see it, then they will bring you in. They're welcome to do it. They're welcome to cut right across me if they see it. cut across me, cut across Nate, cut across James, and let us hear what those who are listening has to say as well. I'd like to always start with some type of a thought, something on the mind, and basically it's generic to what we are, Muslims. And I mean in that sense, not Muslim the name, Muslim the action. And what I mean by Muslim the action, we know Muslim, the term, means one, the one. It's not necessarily plural, but the one who submits his will or her will to Allah. We have to be clear sometimes when we talk even in character to other people. We're not the, you know, sometimes we hear anger and we hear hatred and things of that nature. You know, I watch boxers, but I look at my own life. I look at my father's life. I've never felt I had to hate somebody to go against them. I was in the Vietnam War, didn't know anybody. I had to kill, literally. I carried bodies of people that were American every day. It didn't turn me into a hater. This was something that man established to some degree, but Allah allowed it to be permissible. We want to think war is not permissible. Allah wouldn't allow us to do it if we couldn't do it. But are we doing it out of hate, necessity? Now, for me, I'm in Vietnam. I didn't know how to get back home. I didn't know wasn't no buses running, wasn't no carriages with horses being pulled that would bring me back home. I had to get on some kind of ship.
Start off with a ship too.
Ship or plane to get you off the land right there. But then when you take off, you pray that you don't meet something on the way that brings you down if you're in the air or sink you if you're on the water. You know what I mean? So those things exist. And I'm saying it from this angle, to say that war don't always bring hatred. And you look at us, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jewish community, to be examples. And this is why Allah uses in the Quran a term, mercy to humanity. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, is a mercy to humanity. Allah said to him, tell them, tell us, the people, not just the people he walked with, but people that we are 1,400 some years later, we're still able to read his life. Tell them you're flesh and blood, just like they are. Hatred shouldn't be our thing. But wanting to build a better society that affects everyone should be on the top of all of our lists. We want brothers and sisters to get married, so they could do the things that Allah wanted them to do and not find themselves outside of the rim doing things he don't want them to do. Want to see men and women work, earn livings, have their own business if it's possible. Why? To satisfy the needs just to live. And most important, religious people must read from what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I know from reading the Bible and being taught the Bible as a youngster that the Bible itself is not the Quran. It can't look like the Quran. It has the same stories, many of the same stories. Pleased to have been taught the Bible by my father, it made me a good man, a good person. I ain't going to say I never did mess up and did something. I did. But at the same time, I knew the difference. And I knew not to put something of me on someone else. It's done regular, even among the Muslims. When we look at ourselves as a world of people, we have to see what's our goal. What is our objective? Now, my major, way out front objective is paradise. Now, I love to feel good. I ain't never been a drinker. You to feel good or use drugs like that. I smoked a little reefer. in Vietnam, when we finished picking up those bodies and getting shot at and shooting at, you know, people brought, not people, I would be honest with you, the Vietnamese, the friendly, as we would call them, gave us little packs of weed. You know what I mean? But I didn't bring that home with me. What I brought home with me was my study of the Quran, my study of the Bible, my study of how to eat to live and message to the black man. I was fortunate to read while I was there because I was fortunate to go. I was invited by my cousin on my days of leave before going to Vietnam. I was invited to visit the temple. And they didn't have no flyers for me to take with me, which I'm grateful. They did it bigger than that. When I asked if you got any flyers that I could take with me in order to read, they wouldn't let me in. They let me in the building. I was getting signing up for my ex, and the brother asked me where I work at, and I told him the United States Army, and you'd have thought somebody punched him if I wasn't looking right at him. He fell to the wall, and, oh, no, no. I said, what's wrong with you, man? Mr. Muhammad said, if you're in the military, you can't come in until you quit. If you quit, you probably go to jail. This is just how he said it. If you quit, you probably go to jail. So you have to wait till you finish, and if you still want to come in, you can come in. So I asked, well, give me something to read. You got flyers or something? And I really meant paperwork, just some little paperwork, a couple of sheets or something. He pulled out the Malena Muhammad Ali Quran, How to Eat to Live, Message of Black Man. So I was a reader. That was my major hobby was reading. So I brought those books. Those books helped me see something, even in the war. And no, I'm not saying anything at this point that anybody got to look at me. I'm just giving you an experience because every one of us, Allah gives an experience that's unique to us, only to ourselves. It's not going to be the same thing. My two brothers here, we've been friends for some time. They're not going to feel it just like I feel it, but they're going to feel it in a way to know for a fact, and I believe they're there just like I'm there, that Allah is God and he keeps his promises, that Allah is over everything and he keeps his promises. And as long as we stand with Allah, there's no fear. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm sure if your car, your brakes went out and you found yourself going over a cliff, you feel something.
You will feel
right. But just to move about as a believer,
mm-hmm.
Oh, man, there's no fear. We're confident. One of the things we have to do, when we look at the future, we have to come together, particularly mm-hmm. those of us who was once upon a time in the nation. We know what togetherness did.
Mm-hmm.
The brotherhood, the sisterhood was tight. And in that, we were striving to improve lifestyle for our people, not by going out there beating them in the head and making them do things, but showing a sincere character that made them see this is a change. My brother, I remember my family saying, my brother, he's a Muslim. He in the nation. And they were proud. They might not was ready to join in, but they were proud. They saw, you know, they appreciated me standing behind my father. But my father gave me Christianity in the way that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us Islam. And as I've said many times, my father, he almost choked on coffee when he asked me, son, what's going to make you do that? And I told him I'm going to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he almost choked on the coffee and spit it out. When he got himself together, he said, son, I never told you nothing about that man. I said, no, Dad. But everything he's telling me, you raised me on that. Love yourself. Take care of your people. Protect your women. Do business for yourself. That's all those things that he's saying. And before he died, he hadn't joined, but he went to my brother's wedding, and he told me, I was away. I was in prison. He said, son, I never seen anybody as good as the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Our people really show they love each other as Muslims. He said, I wish I could live long enough to become one. Now, for me, what little understanding I had, he became just on that.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
Just by wanting it, because Allah hears our prayers.
His intention.
His intention.
That's right.
He saw the goodness of the nation of Islam.
He did not.
Just in a wedding. He said the way they treated each other and the way they served us, they showed so much love for the people. That is something that you and I, all of us, we have to get back. We can't dislike what Allah has given us. I don't know nothing that Allah has given me that I dislike. I can stumble and trip and fall. I ain't going to hate myself for falling. I ain't going to hate whatever I tripped over. But that's me that did that. Whether I seen it and didn't step high enough or whether I didn't see it and just slipped, I moved forward. All of us, we have to do that. And we have to move as one. No, that don't mean everybody going to go, but we have to move as one. We have to see what is it that we need most of all. I see a hand up, and I'm gonna turn the mic on for 914-434. I believe that's, I know who it is. Your mic is open. You're welcome to say anything.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
914. Walaikum assalam. How are you?
Yes. I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
Yes, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah, you just said something a few minutes ago. About love, something we have to get back to.
No? Yes.
And that's what, when we first met, the Focolare, May 1997 at Nasir Malcolm Shabazz in New York City.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, you know that? Oh, yes, that was something. I remember people just looking out their windows, stopping their cars and everything. So where are these Europeans, all these Europeans coming to Matthew and Malcolm Shabazz? That's where Malcolm spoke from, you
How
know?
About that?
That's
How about that? Yeah.
That was something. And when you said about love, that's what the man told us. He said, the Focolare have something that we lost, and that's love.
Yes, I remember him saying that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something that we lost, love.
I mean.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make that comment when you said that. Came back to me and spoke a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, my brother. Yes, I remember it too. So touch the one on your phone, and God willing, if you need to come back in, touch it again. But take it off so I'll know that it's not running on by touching the one. And when it come back up, I'll know it's you asking another question or want to make another statement as well. You're welcome. So touch the one on your phone and it'll go off. Okay, so thank you, my brother. So and like I say, you're welcome. If you want to come back on to say something, ask something, you're welcome. You know what I mean? Touch the one. Anyone that wants to do that, you touch the one and we'll hopefully prayerfully we'll see it. So my thought is, where are we going to be at? Where are we going? Allah has given us everything. There's nothing we're lacking in. Do you know every world that comes here to America, and I'm calling them worlds, they nash different nationalities, but I'm calling them every world. Every one of them that come here to America to live, they find life strengthened for them by somehow allowing us to be their industry that they feed from. No, they don't necessarily come to the farm to see us or come to our house to eat a plate, but they come in our neighborhood, and we welcome them. And when we welcome them, we don't just welcome them with, hi, hey, assalamu alaikum, how you doing, kapasa amano, et cetera. We don't do that. We take Benjamin Franklin and all those dollar bills in there and give it to them in their businesses, and they thrive and they make it in our community. We have to learn, us, we have to learn that the industries that we're supposed to establish are not established yet. We have to see ourselves as the people who can build for ourselves. I speak about the halal industry, but that ain't the only thing. We got brothers and sisters, as I've said many times, that can make cars, TV, all technical things that are out there. They can make them. In some places, they got children making these drones and things, little small ones, but they're making them right in the school classroom. Anything that comes out for man, no man, and when I say no man, I'm speaking of a body of people being recognized as an individual man. But no man has been left out by Allah. We have the mindset, humanity, we have the mindset that if one can do it, others can do it. Can all of us do exactly the same thing? No. But every race of people, every body of humanity has a gift, if they come together and work with it, that they can do everything somebody else do. We want to speak to the world with what we have. Allah has given us a gift, even in the way that we were suffering through slavery. We're probably some of the most compassionate humans on earth. When we look at needed by us, again, I push aloud. I've never been a person that wanted to do business, or when I did business, did it just for me. All the money come to me. I remember when I brought my family out of the dry cleaners and I opened up a mini market at the back end of it. And I had people come and work, and they got that when pay was, I think at that time was three something, I was paying seven easily. If you had a skill, you got $10 an hour, literally. And that go back some years. Why? What you making money, why you won't give people comfort of life? A couple of people worked for me, one sister particularly, she had children. She had to catch the bus, get the children to school on a bus or something or whatever, walking, whatever. Then she had to rush to get to work, get a train uptown to where I'm at, my business is at, and work. So now what kind of person God can bless? We have to look at ourselves. He can bless us with something, but we don't want to share. So my thing was, I had a couple people. I also, they had a tight business, and I was the one of the person that fed their business. One of the brothers that was close to me, he knew how to get license and tags and all that kind of stuff. Another one that was close to me, he was doing insurances. And another one was selling cars. It was a couple of them that were selling cars together. So this young lady, she was the first one of my choice. I couldn't see her coming rushing, working hard for me, rushing out, catching the bus, running late sometime. She got paid nice because my minimum wage, like I just said, it was way above the regular minimum wage of Philadelphia. But when I looked, I got to get her a car. So I called the brother that sold the car. Do you got a van that runs, that don't have a problem? He's selling cars. Find me one. He found it. I told him to contact the other brother who ordered the tags and things. And I told him to put the tag. I got her name and information. I'm her boss. I got all her information. You know, he didn't know it's coming. So I had him put the tags and everything when the van was brought up to make sure the tags is there so the brother could bring the car, get the van, because, you know, he sell cars, so he got that temporary tag he could drive to him with. And they were like a few blocks away from the brother that do the tags and stuff was a few blocks from my business. So they bring the car, he brought the van, put the tags on it. We had the other brother work for the insurance company, made sure the insurance was on the car. And before she got off that day, he was the one that put the tags on it. He was a trusted friend of mine. He would drive up to the job, and he'd go in. He liked to surprise people. So he'd go in to the young lady and say to her, there's a ride outside waiting for you. And she was happy. But she didn't know the surprise that was really open. When she got out there and found that she, you know, because I already knew she had license and could drive, that this van was for her, is paid for and everything like that. I mean, I felt good. She didn't owe me nothing. She's working for me, and I just need to make it easier so she could take care of her family and be efficient for me. That's like what Allah tells us about being the mercy to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We got something, the Muslims. I'm not saying that the Christians don't have it, but we got a picture. Ain't no man God for us. All people got to think about is this here. God does not have a birthday and he don't die. He created everything. Somebody with a birthday can't claim they created everything, because when you was born?
Right.
60 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000, 6,000 years ago. Go back all the way to Moses or whatever. 6,000 and some. Go back to Abraham. That ain't enough time to say you the God.
Mm.
So, I mean, all we got to do is live it, and we'll help our family see without insulting them. Because remember what Allah says in the Quran. He said, don't insult their God, because they will insult your God, which is Allah. And their God hears nothing, and I hear everything. Ain't that something? Allah telling us we could do everything we need to do, but don't, in other words, don't aggravate them. Show them the better side by being a better person. Then somebody else may read it a little different, but I guarantee you, if you read it right, we're all going to come out with the same thing. Show the best humanity. Show the best to them of how to be a human. So when she got the call, of course, she was elated. She wanted to hug and kiss me if she got it. No. We ain't gonna do all that. You work for me. You're a good employee, and you got to get to your children and everything like that. And I brought a number of people cars.
Mm-hmm.
Not just no one person. I brought people that didn't work directly for me. One of my friends, his car caught on fire, and his little son was in it. Fortunately, his son was asleep, but he got him out of there in time. He had went in the house and came back in his car. You remember that, Nate? That was a deed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I remember.
He came back out, and the car was on fire. He don't even know how it got on fire. So I brought another car and gave it to him. You know what I mean? And, you know, and I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. That ain't what I'm doing. If you're reading it that way, then I need to be kicked in my head for saying it wrong. But you need to see what I'm talking about. We need to be successful in what we're doing so we can help others, so we can do things. I want to open enough businesses that you very seldom find somebody saying they can't find a job. But not me own the businesses. Why can't we build businesses with our wealth all over across the country? And I'm not asking nobody for no money. I'm talking about as the business, Allah bless us to open it. And as it grows, one of the models that we want is that we put businesses in another state, in another city. All of our communities, African-American descendants of slave community, I'm talking about us. All of us, the one they called the Negro once upon a time, the one they still call the other, Big N. Those people I'm talking about. When we look at what's happening in our community, we don't have anything. Why shouldn't we build things? I've said already, Allah willing, we get it open, and it's taking a minute. Because we got jealous people around that locks in with the city, some people that could get paid to try to block things. That's happening all over the country. It ain't just isolated to Philadelphia. But this body of Muslims can make the difference. We have to believe that. And we don't have to rumble.
Mm-hmm.
The rumbling was done back when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was living. We ain't got to rumble. People know.
We have to be the example.
Be the example. That's right. As I said, the meat processing plant, Allah willing, we get that open. Once that's open, that's one industry that can spread to other places. I used to slaughter the animals, 10 animals, get 200 to 400 pounds off each animal. Now we slaughter, we're going to own the whole animal. So we need a factory bigger than the one we got to do what? Paying all the hides, all the hides from the beef, all the hides from lamb, all the hides from goat, all of the feathers and everything from the poultry. And we want to make everything that could be made out of them, those things, clothes, shoes, belts, chairs, car seats, boat seats, a plane, whatever. That's just coming from the animal. And as I've said many times, go to Google and Google meat processing. Comes from the animal that you can do. The processing is eating, pretty much. But there's other parts of processing. The doctors, the hospitals, they use many things that come from animal for people's health. I found even in there that it says that some part of the cow, the beef product, is used in asphalt that we drive on in the street. Now, I haven't figured that one out yet, but we want to sell every part of the animal. And here's another thing. I love my brothers that are in business that give people jobs, but I don't want nobody to work on the job 30, 40 years, and they still doing the same thing, even if they're getting a nice pay. They should own their own. We put in to establish a trucking service for Blouse Inc. We need refrigerated trucks. But somebody should own that part of the company from among us, whether it's from the family, whether it's from one of the partners, their families, whatever the case is. That business is not just for them to use a truck just to move meat. Start off, you're moving it for Blouse. But at some point, you know it so well, it's yours. But now, what else do you need trucks for? There are people that's moving every day. So bring a different type truck in.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that people need trucks for. Bring them in for those different things. But why shouldn't we have the ability to put ourselves in businesses that we can answer our own call? Who you know that move people? Muslim so-and-so, male or female? And I'm saying this because every one of us, if we're successful, we should spread our wealth. And I'm thankful to Allah that this has been my makeup ever since I was a child. I remember my sister telling me a number of years ago. She's deceased now, but she told me a long, and she's been deceased for a while, but she told me a long time before she died that, you know, you always wanted to use your money to help somebody else. I feel like I'm a philanthropist before I even understood what the word meant by heart. But it's not just that. The main thing is we don't have nothing. Why? Why don't we have nothing? We do everything. We do every field of work that exists. Not only in America, we even go abroad. We go somewhere else and do work. People in Philly take a train or a bus or a plane to another place to do work. Some out of the country to do work. Why shouldn't we own our own? We're on a podcast right now. God willing, we were successful. I want to use some wealth to get us towers. I'm asking those of AM360 because they're the ones handling this. I ain't trying to handle it. My part is if I can motivate economics, then I can finance it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to buy it? No, they don't have to buy it, but if they want to buy it, they can buy it. Otherwise, it's finance, and there's some gratuities that come my way, but it goes mostly to their way. Because why? We want to talk to the world. We want to shame those who always look down on us, like they did in the time of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, when they looked down on Bilal. When Bilal was first released from his type of slavery, he was laying on the hot ground, sand, with a big boulder on his chest, tied down to the ground. That's how they were treating him, the Arabs. Abu Bakr, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember the story correct, went and freed him. What I liked in this story, I remember Imam Muhammad gave the story, but I had read it in the Hadith too. But when he gave it, he gave such color to it. And Bilal asked him before he cut him all the way loose, after he paid for him, he said, are you freeing me to be your slave or Allah's slave? Because if you're freeing me to be your slave, leave me where I'm at. Now, when I heard that, I said, man, that's me there.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
I
can identify. Don't free me to put me in some other bigger chain,
right.
You know what I mean? So Bilal is a picture. Muhammad the Prophet told the people, when they was always making, his companions was always making fun of Bilal. Oh, black Bilal. Prophet said, all of us are black. And think about that. He wasn't just talking about skin color. He's talking more scientifically than even though they weren't using the word science. He said that one day, the raisin, he didn't call us peasy head, the raisin head, you know what I mean, the raisin hair, us, one day will be the leader, the khalifa of the all of the Muslims in the world. Don't you know they've been fighting that for years, that don't leadership don't come from America, from us? They're pretty much annihilated the chance of our African brothers becoming leaders. Go to Hajj. We got to teach them. Our Arab brothers, all the knowledge, all the scholar, all the shape they got in themselves. They have to see, this is not how you treat people. Go to Hajj, those who have and who see it different. Go to Hajj and you'll find, especially among the men, but I've heard some sisters say the same thing. As soon as they look at us, they want to treat us like they treat the Africans until they hear us talk. And then they, I'm Reiki, my brother, please, brother, come this way, please. And we have to ask them sometimes, why you treat them like that? Oh, no, brother, don't worry. That, not you. We won't treat you like that. Now, they born in the land of the prophets. Arabic don't make you more godly.
Mm-mm.
But now that's not important, because the key is, should we do it right, we become a mercy to humanity to show people how to treat each other. We're not devils. No human is a devil for real. But he could submit so deeply he become like one. Satan is not a physical man. He's a whisperer. He can get in your spirit, in your mind. But you got to let him. Because all of us got a chance to say, oh, I ain't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Go slap that man. Oh, no, mm-hmm. I ain't going to do it. And not I ain't going to do it because I can't beat him. I ain't going to do that because that ain't the thing to do. That ain't what God is. See, when we answer first to Allah in our thought. Before we do it, that's what keep us right. In other words, I ain't got to worry about it. When I left Vietnam, I left everything that could have been done wrong over there. I read the Quran 3-4 times that year, the Bible, How to Eat to Live, Message of Black Man, 4 times a month at least. I had enough ammunition in my thinking that Shaitan couldn't get close to me. He was having a hard time before I was a Muslim. But I left there vowing, I will not smoke, I will not curse, I will not drink, I will not get high, I ain't fornicate, all those kind of things. And when I got home, the test was easy because I kept putting in my mind what you put in your mind, something about Allah. Allah says that through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, and mentions in the Quran. The way the Prophet mentioned it, he said that Allah will keep giving Islam to a new people. You think we wasn't a new people? Even though we were brought here to America, and many of us that remain in slavery were Muslims before we were brought here. And I say it that way because the Quakers, it's written in the history, the Quakers will tell the slave master, if you have a black that's a Christian, you have to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And they let them go. That means the ones that remain, no, they might not have been, every one of them might not have been Muslim, but the majority was Muslim.
Mm-hmm. 80%.
Yeah, so Allah allows us to come and be erased as a people.
Right.
He allowed that. He didn't have to do that. But he allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
For us to one day again find Islam, submission to his will, Muslim willingly submitting to his will, and finding the character that tells humanity how to live. Look at the favor Allah put on us. And the proof he gives us, a man born in 1897 with a third grade education. And again, as I've said, you know, a third grade education today with all the technology, all of the insight, can't make a child be anything. And I'm saying third grade, that's a child's knowledge. If that's all we had to work with, we couldn't put nothing together. Probably just be cooks. And might not be good at that. You know what I mean? So I'm saying to us, we have an obligation to Allah. And that obligation as Muslim is to work as one. I'm not saying let's be anti-Arab or Pakistani. No, they are brothers and sisters. But don't forget the job we got. We got to work as one to remind them to work as one. And not just work as one with your own people. Work as one with humanity. Allah's message is not for one of us, a group of us, one of the states and not the rest, one of the continents and not the rest. No, humanity. A message for humanity, male and female. We ain't into that stuff that the female, she got to walk in the back. The Arabs are still doing that. The brothers got to stop that. Allah, there's nothing shows Muhammad the Prophet did that. Matter of fact, Aisha was a ball of fire. She was like any young wife would be. He couldn't tell her, go sit down and be quiet. He didn't do it. Where are they getting it from? Custom. Their previous custom have not yet been suppressed by Allah's word. What is their previous custom? Their previous custom was to kill their daughters when they were born. And as they grew to be mothers of their own children, they meant little to nothing. They had no voice. We can't do that. Some of our brothers want to look like ours. You better look like yourself. Mm. Be yourself. Hey, we got that from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Wake up and be yourself. You can achieve something being yourself. You can't achieve it if you're not. And we have to believe that, we have to recognize that, and we have to go with that. So we're going to take a PSA right now. Peace is Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dupreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Chinese.
Assalamu alaikum, James Bashir. I'm going to read from the Holy Quran, Surah 35. Excuse me. Ayats 29, 30, and 31. Those who rehearse the book of Allah, establish regular prayer, and spend in charity out of what we have provided for them secretly and openly, hope for a commerce that will never fail. For he will pay them their meed. Nay, he will give them even more out of his bounty, for he is all-forgiving, most ready to appreciate service. That which we have revealed to thee of the book is the truth, confirming what was revealed before it, for Allah is assuredly, with respect to his servants, well acquainted and fully observant. Join us every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit AM360.org, Pan Corporation Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yeah, thanks, Brother James. This is Nate Muhammad. Allow industry do for self. I'd just like to comment on a couple statements the man mentioned earlier in his talk. And it was about the Muslim by name and the Muslim, or being a Muslim by name and being a Muslim by action. And I couldn't help it to reflect back. I had a conversation with a brother earlier in the week, and he mentions, or he asked the question, what attracted you to Islam? How did you become a Muslim? And I know that everybody comes as far as their own personal journey into Islam. And I also learned that through their journey is bringing you to Allah in worship as well. It's in life. But he asked me, how did I become Muslim? And I told him, I didn't come up. As some people would speak about how they came up in a religious, the Christian from the church, I didn't come up that way. I came up out of in the streets and whatnot. And I couldn't help it from seeing our people, the African Americans, descendants of slaves, how they've been treated, mistreated. Now, I'm a teenager now. I think I'm about 15, 16 years old. And I couldn't understand what we do to be treated like this, you know, at the hands of so-called these people. And I couldn't digest it because I knew I wouldn't have been able to accept that treatment. I knew I wouldn't have been able to accept it. So I told them, no, I was looking around to find answers. Now I look to my father, his family, my mother, their family. Nobody couldn't give me an answer. And the only thing I seen around is this man at that time, Donald Elijah Muhammad, talking about a message for the black man. So maybe he got the answer that I sought. So I migrated right to the temple, but didn't hesitate, beeline right to it. And I sat there, and first of all, when I walked in, as the man was talking about how his father felt the warmness from the people, I felt that. I said, man, this feel good in here. I can get my answer. And I remember once I accepted and got my ex, I ran into a brother named Louis Abdul, never forget. And we happened to be on, well, why did you, or how did you come about to come to the temple? And I told him. And he said, brother, if you want that answer, you're going to have to submit to the will of Allah. I said, what? Submit to the will of Allah? Just for an answer? Okay. I have to do this. And I did. And back then, Donald Elijah Muhammad was always telling you to get knowledge of yourself, push you in direction to do some research towards yourself or for yourself. And ourself is our people. It ain't just not me. We still part of that community of the African-American descendants of slaves. So that's part of us. That's our people. And I had to go research, and as the man was talking about, how the Quakers said that take all the Christians and leave everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I found out that majority of our people came from the West Coast of Africa. And then I looked in and it said the dominant religion there was Islam. I said, whoa, like I done found home a little bit, I said to myself. And then I started reading about all the country, the people migrating. You know, I couldn't help it from going to all African country that was Muslim. And the one that stood out the most was Mansa Musa. Every time he went on Hajj, he was the richest man in the Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wherever he went, he lavished them with part of his wealth. His finance wealth. And I was intrigued. I said, that's nice. Hey, I can do that. That's something that I probably would have did just to share, because we was always concerned about our people. I know I was listening to the imam. He's been concerned about our people, the African Americans, descendants of slaves. So I couldn't help but be intrigued about it. So I move on reading about this. And so then now you got to the point where when the Imam Muhammad come in, and now he's teaching us the religions of Islam. We already came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where you had to clean your life up.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that took us to a form of wudu, ablution, cleaning us up, getting us ready for Islam, to live the life of Islam, trials and tribulation that he encountered us, that in order for you to establish what Allah wants, you have to withstand his test. You have to submit to him to bear witness, prove to yourself that Allah is Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prove it unless you submit to his will. And that's what go back to what the brother Lewis was saying, you have to submit to Allah's will. All right, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And through the trials and tribulations, we established, you know, how to struggle. Now the struggle we made, God said, I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you in your conviction. But he also said that I'm going to show you how to withstand my test.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient, persevere, and pray. So you have a formula that we had to work with to strive to offset the struggle that we was encountering.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that he shows you both. He shows you the rough or the wrong way, and he shows you the right way. He shows you both. That's in establishing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be aware of when you go to do things, you're already aware of the rough, I mean the right and the wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's becoming easy now, you know. Once I understand it, because we're being guided.
Okay.
We're being guided. And what we've been guided on, and then we come right back to what Imam Muhammad said. He's God's man.
I mean.
Oh, they God's man. So what I took upon that is a lot. After he done stripped us off all our conviction and put us through all that, he raising us back up.
I mean.
In an image where he won us in Islam. And if we lead by what Allah says, it's easy to digest and move freely in this society, you understand, under Allah's will.
Amen.
It's easy, become easy. And I'm talking to the brother, back to the brother that we explained, and he asked me, you know, that, wow, I can see now what you're talking about based on the road you came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always told the imam, oh, look, I stumbled across God here in Islam. I heard it and I seen it, but I ain't believe it because it didn't make sense for what I was seeing. But today, everything we move with Allah's name, it makes sense. And I've learned that the religion is a way of life designed to help you deal with reality. What is reality? Common sense. And that's reflect back to, yeah, I'm thinking there, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for me to adjust everything based on what makes sense. Because we out here, and our whole plot is to unify the people. We have to share our experience,
mm-hmm.
our journey with the people in order to get them to unify
Because right now, and I told them that we are running around and we have a lot of knowledge and we have a lot of experience, and we can, from our teaching from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad, the people don't see it right now because we are scattered. Mm. We are scattered. We're all going in any whatever direction we have or whatever life led you to. Mm. But we have to come back and unify. And then you can see the effect of the from the teaching from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad once we unify. We ain't going to see it long as we're moving individually.
Right.
It's hard to see it. I say that. It's hard to see it. But if we unite, that's the first thing on our list, unite. People, we have to unite first. The Juma, and we have all the people. We stand up, and we make a lot. In unison, that's the way we're supposed to do everything, just like that. That's the example that Allah exhibited. It says the greatest strength is in numbers. He said your salat, your prayer is greater in numbers. Mm-hmm. So no matter what we're turning at, we're turning right back there to the people. The African American descendants of slaves, because those are the ones is going to be out front to show what we know. Because we if you reflect back, Allah already raised us back up. He done destroyed everything, our identity and all, and reconstruct. And here we to the point we can stand upright and bear witness to the La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That is the victory right now that the Imam Muhammad always says. Remake the world. We done remade ourselves with Allah's name. And this is time for us to now is to stand up and show. Like, as the brother Imam said, we are Muslims in name, but we also Muslims in action.
Amen.
And our action is designed to show society by our oneness. We ain't going to do nothing. We're not going to continue to move individually because Allah's in charge of this. I don't even worry about it because he's going to send whatever help you need to get what we need to do.
Amen.
I don't have no doubt because I've seen how he works. It's easy for me to adjust. And he said, you have to be patient, persevere, and pray.
Amen.
You know, so you don't get all upset. You know, like they said, we're at an age now that we've seen the outcome of a lot of things. And we know that, yeah, we shouldn't have done that, or you shouldn't have done this. And we need to do this in order to do that. And this is where we come right back to, here we go. We have to unite. Again, we ain't getting around that. Everything leading towards that. Unite. After unite, then what we want to do? We want to do for self. We're going to build everything up to do for self. And after that, once you do for self, we're striving to do the model community.
Amen.
Be an example of a community.
Mm-hmm.
That's leading about what Allah wants. That's all.
Okay.
It ain't what I want. Shoot, Allah can take us away today. His plan still be in effect. So as long as I say, I adjust my character to what Allah wants. I ain't got to sit and wrestle with all this and all this. Because, again, this is where we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
We striving to establish a halal lifestyle. We done came out of the haram. That's why Allah showed you what's haram, because you can turn around and look behind you and you see, yeah, I ain't doing that. I ain't going back into that madness. What's the way you want to go? We want to go straight ahead. Still. That model community is built around what Allah wants. It's halal, permissible by Allah, permissible from Allah. Doesn't matter. So this is our plight. This is our plan,
mm-hmm.
And this is our stand. And we're gonna have to hold fast and establish our criteria. Be the best example that we can be.
Mm-hmm.
With Allah's name. You know, because that's what the people need today is models, leaders, that they can identify with, you understand, that talk the language that they talk.
Mm-hmm.
We all come out of, I call it the belly of the beast, the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. We all came out of that. Because we can always go back. Well, that's what we did with the nation. We went right back in the belly of the beast and stood there and wasn't affected by it. We went right back down there crawling at the bottom of the barrel, and the people identified with it, and they said, man, y'all look like y'all hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope to help us get out of this. Come on out of this here stuff, this whirlpool too. All this filthy and nasty. You know, Imam Muhammad always talk about the blight.
Yeah.
Clean up the blight. Get rid of the blight out of your life. The blight is the same thing Elijah Muhammad pulled us out of, all that filthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, it's like he said with his sisters and all, we are. The people are proud to be or to see, oh, that's my brother. Yeah, they one of the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ain't do that. I can always talk. You mention anything about Muslim, I can always elaborate on that with them. And they feel comfortable around you, you know. And then when you talk, you got their ear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening now at the Masalas, I know in Philadelphia, they lean in their ear. And all we can do is say the word to the right, say what the law says. We got to lead with what the law says. You can't make them do nothing. We can only suggest
mm-hmm.
that they can do it and be the example of what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
not just talking just to hear you talk. I call it venting, because if you're going to talk and it's not going to back it up with nothing, you're just venting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to go through that period where we got to get a lot of pain off our heart. What the law says in the Quran, you have to change the condition of your heart first. So then now we have to get all that pain off our heart, get all that from suffering, without understanding and knowing why we were suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell the people, no, man, God was building you up, strengthening you to be in the image that he wants you to be.
Amen.
And you're not going to get around that, because he the only one can pull you out of that. These other ethnic groups can't do that. The only one can do that is Allah. So with that, I'd like to just turn the mic back over to the imam, and if anybody has any questions, suggestions, feel free to push one on your phone, and we'll get with you as soon as possible. Thanks again. This is Nate Muhammad, Halal Industry.
Yes, thank you very much, Nate and James. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, do for self. And I didn't say it earlier, but I do know I always like to say it. We like to begin with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I did say it?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I thought I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
You know what I mean? So, but as we're speaking to this, the goal should be in all of us, we want a better humanity. But we got to start with ourselves. I got to start
right.
with me, then go to my wife, then go to my children, and continue until it grow, my friends.
Yeah.
And if all of us, as we've witnessed in many things, if all of us are doing that, we want the best of us to be shared. And for me, the best is, you know, it's easy to do business, but our people need business.
Right.
Our people need industry. We can do everything, but we have to be where we own our own, because we're still living among people who would like to keep us out of things. Don't get mad about that.
They trying every day.
Yeah, we don't have to get mad about nothing. All we have to do is work. God, Allah, the Creator, however the individuals say it, it's only one. Allah is not sitting around anywhere like a man, kind of messed up because everybody won't call him Allah. Allah is the God.
That's right.
The God. In every language, they got a different way of saying it. But as long as we mean in our heart, in our mind, in our thinking, the creator of everything, we're all talking about the same Allah. I think, you know, the average listener, yes, we know that. But we have to encourage others to see. We got work to do. And sharing is something that all of us have to do. When we do the Zoom, and when we start doing it for the model community, the purpose of the original Zoom, the first ones, and how many will it take, I'm not sure. But we know we got to have at least one. We're appealing to each of us to look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Measure yourself based on your talent, what you know that you're good at. And in measuring that, that means that if we're talking about building, for instance, if we're talking about putting a community together and having maybe some kind of factory, and the factory is making anything. It could be cars. It could be anything. If I've never done it before, that's not my field, but it is somebody's field.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's your field, then what we need is for you to be able to talk when we start talking to the people, because we start off with the Zoom is to pull together the people that would help do the convention, if we can call it that, the larger, speaking to the larger body. And the purpose of the convention would be to convince people to understand that we want to come together and we want to build a model community. We want to build wealth among ourselves. We want to change the face of what humanity looks like. You know, when we look at what's going on, all the killing, who's putting guns in our community? We look on the news today, and the woman, she's going to do time, and the husband is going to do time for giving the son a gun, and he went somewhere and killed somebody. First of all, why would you give a child a gun? I would have liked to think that's not what happened, but he got a gun. And then having the gun, why? Why would, I mean, myself, I'm not going to give none of my children no gun. I'm not going to give my wife a gun. You know what I mean? I'm going to go out and take care of whatever got to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And most things that I've dealt with, I've had the pleasure of Allah's protection that most of the time I can tell people something and I don't have to have a weapon. And I've let them know from day one. When I started running people off the corner back in 1969, coming home from Vietnam, hearing the minister speak about them selling dope on the corner. Hey, I'm Harry Adex. I open my jacket. I ain't got no weapon. Are you so-and-so-and-so-and-so? Yeah, so I understand you selling drugs on this corner. You got 30 days. If you want to do something to me now, you can do it. But you got 30 days to get off that corner. Because if you're not on the 31st day, I'm a key. They didn't have to carry no weapon. I think the people understood that this they may call me the N-word up under their breath. This joker, he is crazy. He come up on the corner talking about he ain't got no weapon. Let me get off this corner just in case he that crazy. You know what I mean? So, no, do we got to threaten everybody? No. But we got to build. And that if we think about what was the progress motivator that we saw in the days of the nation, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was giving us something to build on. Imam Muhammad was giving us something to build on. Many of our imams who were ministers back then, some of them, but imams, they see, but they don't see. Meaning, they're good in the delivery of a message, but we got to build too. We got to build houses. We got to build environments that actually sent a message. And when I say sent a message, that people look and say, I like the way they live.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. I know I've heard that many times. Man, I like the way y'all carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In other words, they were proud not just to see me, my wife, my family, but just the way the Muslims were looking. You know what I mean? In other words, they didn't want to offend us. Here in Philadelphia, many times a drunk will walk down the street and come around and see them, especially a Muslim sister. The other says, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be. sister didn't even know he was coming around the corner. But he wanted to apologize because he's being seen drunk. That was a blessing. That was a mercy to the man. Because even for a person to acknowledge for themselves that they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, that's strength. That's a lot of strength working in the body of that person. That's not necessarily fear. But that respect was given around the country. We've seen it regularly here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And not always because somebody got hurt. But people understood, here's a woman that's respecting herself. And we don't need no foolishness or no insult. Here's some brothers that are respecting themselves. So what's missing today? We need to come together and build institutions, industries, all these different things that's needed to do what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do for self, and what Imam Muhammad said, build the model community. We can do it. We have to take the time, be in our environment. When I say our environment, meaning what is your talent? And begin to draw something. Draw something up. What do you do? What's good that you do? If I were to say what everybody is doing, I might miss the mark. I might say because a person talk well, he could be this or that, but he knows how he's been using or she's been using their talk, their language, their speech to help people all their life. That's one thing Allah gives to each of us. He allows us to see ourselves, even if we can't see no one else. I know what I've been all my life. I know where my strengths came from, my father, my mother, my family. No doubt about it. Did I get any strength from outsiders? Yes, I did. No question about it. No question. Did I get it from anybody other than African American? Yes. I saw things happening with humanity that, yes, I needed to know some of that, even if it was from another race. And the best thing we could do is build those model communities one city at a time or put a few in a city at a time and then go to another city. We got 50 states. Once we start, we should be seeing a margin of establishing one in every state, and it shouldn't take us 50 years to do it. But we got to build wealth. We got to pull together those teams of brothers and sisters across the nation that know how to build, construct. And I'm not just talking about brick and mortar. I mean, there's other things that could be built in a society that the society needs. All of us, we need our brains saying, and not now, because imagine this. If we talk about doing something and we got just one, say, just let's talk about building, one engineer, one architect. That's fine. But I know of quite a number of them right now, myself, that are among the Muslim community. And we can even take them from our brothers and sisters from the Christian community to help build, to help establish. I remember years ago, the young brother was working for me when I was doing my hot dogs, sausages, and everything, selling through the street, going to the playground with a baseball game or whatever the case may be. And he asked me one day, if you had a chance to build a community, would you build for Christians? I said, yeah, I would build for Christians too. Why? In other words, ain't our family Christians? We don't want the family of another brother and sister to come in and see and recognize that they could do better. This is what we have to do. You know what I mean? Time is moving on us. We did start late. I apologize. We had forgot to put a certain thing in. So I'm going to stop here for PSA, but you're still welcome. We've still got enough time. If you push the one on your phone, if you have something that you'd like to say, then that door will be open to you.
I Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. James Bashir, Law Industry Do For Self. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayu, Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Zinc, and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Zinc is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yeah, thanks again, Brother James. Here's Nate Muhammad again, the Halal Industry Do For Self. I still like to just follow up on my part is working to unify everything I talk every day, all day long, to unify. You understand? Because I know with that, we'll take off as a community. Because this is meant for us. Like I said, we always said that individually we have a lot of people who are successful. And you know, we always just say, yeah, well, they're successful individually, but it's not completed unless, not majority of your people, but the people right there with you is successful right along with you. And we always say, well, how do we do that? We unite. Mm-hmm. And everything we do as one. And if one is successful, all of us will be successful. That is the remedy of that. Because people are going to ask you questions. Mm-hmm. They have doubts. They have pain. You understand that we're going through a little thing right now. Where the people, they got to get our people, the African-American, mm-hmm. descendants of slaves, they have to get that pain off their heart. Mm-hmm. Our condition is not going to change until we get that pain off our heart. Mm-hmm. And then it will be easy to unite as one. Right now, we still fighting with that pain. Mm-hmm. And we remind them and let them talk about it. We already know it because, first of all, we stumbled across that one day in our meetings with the brothers. We stumbled. We didn't know what that was. We were just thinking, now I see why there's black-on-black crime because we don't take the time and be patient with each other to help let them get whatever they have on their heart out of the way. But you have to remind them. You have to mention to them what it is, because a lot of us didn't know. We didn't know why I act like this. I'm crazy. You look at the people that they call they mental now, but they be reactive, getting the pain off their heart. They don't know. They don't know. So you have to, you know, you have to remind them. They have their family wind up calling the police on them, and it get worse. But they always be asking for some help. Mm. You know? They ain't got to sit up here and say, I need help. No. Their action speaks for that. That's like the imam said, we Muslim by name, but we also Muslim by action. These people, they in trouble by name, and they in trouble by action. So we have to, if we know it or we can identify with it, we can easily maneuver and just a kind word, a word to the right. Just there's something that to take away from, because everything else they get negative.
Mm-hmm.
And if we sitting in a meeting and you have a lash out, you know, and you deal with it with more aggression, you ain't gonna get nothing out of it. Look at what's happening with the kids. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of fights breaking out in the schools. The kids, they got all that aggression, they all that pain, they letting it out. We have to go to them and appeal to them and be the example to them. Mm-hmm. When they see us dealing with each other, I remember we was doing a job with some brothers,
mm-hmm.
and a gentleman came over to us and he said, you know, I understand. I can, you guys, you're not arguing, fussing and fighting and all this. And then we looked at him like in surprise. What are you talking about, man? We just doing a job. He said, but I noticed that you're not arguing. I'm used to seeing African-American descendants of slaves. They always argue with each other. They always fight, always threaten, always that. Oh, you know, and it don't, I said, yeah, well, we ain't thinking about that. We know that this man, he's in charge of this job, and we supporting him. You know, our attitude is that we want to get in, get it done, and get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our whole objective. But I had to reflect back at that and bear with them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the people notice that because they used to how they see us perform,
mm-hmm.
how we react, or how we portrayed ourselves
mm-hmm.
in public. But this is time. This is our time because we know
mm-hmm.
we have the answer. We don't have to go full circle and try to figure out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is the get the credit for that. Well, taking us through this and showing us that this is what I want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wasn't ready for it earlier, but now we're ready for it.
Lord.
You know, and we're ready for it because he made it plain to us that this is what we're up against. And when we walk out in the street, it doesn't fear. There's no fear in the street, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we understand the streets. We understand what's come about. The challenge, it's not in the street no more. The challenge is within us to unite,
mm-hmm.
within us to educate each other, share our wealth with each other. So when we walk out the street, they will automatically bow down, or they will automatically respect us.
Mm-hmm.
When they see you, oh, man, these guys here, man. They look like they look like they're all right, but they also look like you better not mess with them,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they realize that, oh, I know him, I know them, I know some of them, and even make them. That's what we did with the nation. We walked in. They are, once the people recognize who you were. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's old Johnny. That's old Bobby. Oh, that old crazy old Billy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. And they you know. And they came back, and we could sit there and identify. We had papers. We always sold the bean pies. We always had something good for the people. And they looked forward to seeing us in there. It's the same thing we want to do today. We got something good once we unite. Back then, it was individual knowledge. Today, it's going to be unification.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be it's time for us to move as one. Not somebody got to get you together and pay you to come together. No. You're going to earn this on your own merit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, what we want to do is lead with what Allah says. Not what I say, he say. Maybe lead with what Allah said.
Right.
Allah said that we got to be humble, or we have to approach each other with a lowly spirit,
mm-hmm.
respectfully. That's what the law say.
That's right.
That's telling you how to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said how you go to deal with the people. You have to be fair and honest to them.
Mm-hmm.
even if it's going to be against yourself, you have to be fair and honest. And if that duo of an approach, believe me, you can cut through a lot of this madness and appeal to the people's heart.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because every man loves respect.
Mm-hmm.
Every man loves to be treated fair, especially us, the African-American descendants of slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, they would accept it more better than anybody because of how we always was treated, and nobody explained nothing to them why you was treated.
Mm-hmm.
They walking around trying to figure out what did they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's how they used to say it's dangerous being black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I used to say I ain't going to do that. No, you ain't going to come treat me in any old kind of way.
Right.
Yeah, and if I did something wrong, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But this is our time, and this is our time that it's time for us to show what we know.
Mm-hmm.
We're still with that. We're Muslim in name, and we're also Muslim
mm-hmm.
in action.
Mm-hmm.
This is our time. This is our time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank AM360. For granting us the opportunity to share our wealth, our experience on the air. I appreciate that. You understand? Because, again, that gives you extra incentive and helps prepare you so when you walk out the door, it's all like it's part of your repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of your conversation.
Yeah.
You understand? And then, if you are an image of what you're talking about, that proves it.
It works.
That proves it. And if the people done seen you from where you begun, where you first started out up until the day, they say, boy, you came a long way. You came a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And we came a long way under really the tutelage of learning the religion under Imam Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming into almost 50 years. Well, it's 49 years now.
Yeah.
You know, since he gave all of us the Shahada and all the community as he took charge of the community, it's almost 50 years.
Yeah.
And we had enough time for that to digest what he was talking about.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We have enough time to digest. Now we're ready to go out and show what you know. That's why I said, well, we're already ready. You understand? But we have to unite so the people will see it, to show what we know.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it individually, stand on a soapbox and delegate. We can't do that.
Right.
We do it by our action. That's the same way the model community will present itself, by the action. Oh, yeah. You going down there where the Muslims at?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know you can't go on. You know you can't go in there with that cigarette, drinking that sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking that weed, can't come in there like that.
Right.
You know, they're going to hit you right there at the door. You can. And if you're going to be part of that, you have to be clean yourself up. You have to get yourself in the order. You can't be what this society wanted to create, how they want to create you.
Mm-hmm.
You running around here now, they're a product of that environment. That society created them. They don't even really know.
Mm.
The deck was stacked against them before they even walked out the door.
Amen.
We unearthed that just by doing what the law wants, cleaning our life up. And as long as we sitting around with doing what they want, we lose out.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank you here for another edition of the Halal Industry here with Imam Muhammad and all. You know, to welcome you back next week for another edition with that Snake Muhammad, the Halal Industry, do stuff. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
I got to go.